And basically, that's what I'm going to let her do this morning. But here's something else it does. We talked last week about building our faith. And we talked about two ways to build faith. What were they? That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Yes, reading the Word of God. By faith comes hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when you read the Word of God, it builds your faith as you learn about God from Scripture. What was the other way? Experience. As you pray and see God answer, it's like, wow, God's word really is true. And so what she's going to share with you this morning is wow, God's word really is true. I'm also reminded, and I should have looked this up, I think it's Acts chapter 12, where it says, Peter was cast in prison, but the church prayed. Now we could change the wording. Joyce was diagnosed with cancer, but the church prayed. Okay? And I'm going to give her time this morning just to share with you what God has done and been doing and is doing right now, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then Joyce, you come on up, and I'm going to pray, and then she's going to take some time to share these things with us, okay? All right. Lord, we do thank you for the ability to come and study your word and to praise you and to pray and fellowship together as believers, and we thank you for what you're doing in Joyce and Bennett's lives, and pray that you'd bless now as she shares that with us, and then as we teach the Word of God afterward, and Lord, just continue to speak to us. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Oh, thank you. We'll pass this too. Just throw my stuff on the floor. It's no big deal, really. Okay, here you go.
Stick that in the pocket.
Put that in your pocket.
And this will clip onto your sweater voice, there. Evidently not. Okay. Most of you that know me, I don't really need that. Okay. Gary called and asked if I would share my testimony in how could I say no for what God has done in my life. And who would have ever thought I would be the one standing here with a mask on and a lid of love? I'm just going to tell you that I always thought I would be exempt from cancer because I didn't think that God would ever put Bennett through taking care of me of what he had gone through with cancer. He was totally the sickest man I'd ever seen with cancer. But what I learned with this is that in Isaiah 55:8 it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So I don't know what I was thinking. Duh, as they say, you know. But I always thought I would be exempt from that. But in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God." These are the very first words in God's word, and that's where I began, with God. While I was in the hospital with the blood clot, God showed me in order to give him glory and share the gospel, I would need his word. So I purchased a new King James Bible. And in order for anyone to come and visit me, or the doctors or nurses to take care of me, they would have to open God's word. They'd have to read a verse to me. They'd have to sign, date, and underline it. So what this does for me now is that when I'm weak and I need encouragement, I simply go through this Bible, and there's underlined verses. I don't even have to look for those verses, but they're already there for me. When you send me cards and there's a verse in it, I underline that verse, put your name beside of it. I welcome visitors, but when you come, be prepared with a verse and be ready to sign the Bible and read me the verse. And so that's how I began, was with God. I then looked in Genesis 1:9 and it says, Abraham journeyed. So this is called my journey Bible. So I began the journey. I really didn't want to go on this journey at all. But God had called me to go with him. I've never questioned why. I've always been at peace since the beginning. And on Thanksgiving weekend, I had a blood clot that went from my leg to my lung as I traveled from Clonal Heights to Johnson City Hospital. Yes, it could have taken my life, but that's the week that Bennett's mother had passed away, and I really believed in my heart that it would be too much for Bennett to bear, and God didn't want to put that much on him, that he would lose his wife and his mother in the same week. So God planted that blood clot in my lung. So I was then hospitalized. on the Wellmont on the third floor. Well, that's where we go every single month with our cancer ministry. So how good was that? All the doctors and nurses knew me, and I had excellent care, needless to say. While there, the doctor decided to biopsy the lymph nodes that had shown up in a CT scan. And the report comes back. Now, we can get into all kinds of trouble up here. Sometimes it may break into a nosebleed. Y'all just hold on, okay? The report comes back that it's stage 4 cancer in the lung, the liver, the aorta, and the colon. You might say, how does that happen when I've been in the hospital twice and the doctor's office 7 times this year? And all I can say is that God wasn't really to reveal it. I'd not eaten in almost 9 weeks. My lungs had begun to fill with fluid. My bowels had stopped. My kidneys were shutting down. I now had a fever. I actually was on death's door and had no idea. I was still selling houses. I was still out there working. But I knew that I needed to get going with as much prayer as I could. So Pastor Jody read my mission trip letter and had the church pray over Bennett and myself. Now, I had decided not to do any type of treatment because I've been around a lot of cancer, and I had decided with less than 5% chance of survival rate, I was not going to leave this world with my head hung in a commode, being sick. I just wanted to live out the rest of my days as I was. So I began to put things together, and I spoke with Pastor Jody. Now, I'm not one for funerals. So with that said, I wanted to have a celebration of life while I was still living, and I would be there. So Pastor Jody and I would talked about that, and then at my death, I would only have a graveside. And we had that all figured out. And the pastor was in agreement with that. But I went ahead and I followed the protocol of going to the doctor's office of the surgeon and the oncologist. Now, the surgeon is a good friend of ours. I've known him for years. He did Bennett's cancer surgery. He was brought up here from MD Anderson. But I had known him before that, very good friend. And so we go to him, and he's reading my scan, and he's big tears in his eyes, and he says, "Joyce, we don't have time. We've got to get going." So with that, then I saw the oncologist the next day, still thinking I'm not going to go through chemo. But I had asked God for sure, clear direction before that appointment. Now, this is a Christian doctor. This office prays over every one of their patients before they even see them every morning. And the doctor says, "Joyce, I think you need to try this because we've seen good results with this type of chemo." So I just kind of looked over at Bennett and I said, "Okay, then let's get going with it." At that point, I gave my whole body totally over to God. And I said, "Take it and use it for your glory, for whatever that's going to be." I then had a port put in. For you that don't know what a port is, they put it under your skin, and that's where they just use that one site, and then you don't have to go through a lot of this every time you have chemo. So we go to the short stay unit, and only curtain between us. And I had just returned back from having that port back into that little cubicle. And I was seriously groggy from all that medication. But I could hear these footsteps going back and forth, clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack. And I heard the nurse ask this lady if she needed a walking path. And I heard her say, "I don't think I'm saved." And I said to Bennett, "Have her come over here and sit in this chair." She said, "How can you lay there with stage 4 cancer and be at peace?" I said, "I have God with me." So we shared the gospel with her, and she bowed her head and she prayed and she asked God right there into her heart. So already God was using what we were going through. The hospital chaplain, the nurses were all staying in the background. I can remember that. So what I'm telling you is that we only have to be God's mouthpiece. He'll give us the words. I couldn't tell you right now what I said to her with all that medication, but whatever we said was of God, and he just used our mouth to use it. If you remember in my mission letter, my verse was Psalms 40, verse 3. And it says, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear it and trust in the Lord. So we'd already seen how God was using this cancer. I began chemo the week before Christmas. I walked into the chemo lab and they connected me to 7 bags of chemo. Now, what I want you to know is that the cancer ministry here had been praying for 4 years as to how we might get into the chemo lab. Well, as I sat there, I saw God's answer to that. There I was. It was me he sent to the chemo lab to share the gospel. I'm allowed to pass out the track with the cancer cross attached to it. And why we call this a cancer cross is because the cord is woven. Each type of cancer has its own color assigned to it. Most don't know that. But this cord is woven with multicolors. My brother has a weaving machine and he cuts the crosses out. And we tie them. And it's tied so that it is Christ's arms around you. So I am allowed in the cancer lab now to pass these tracks and crosses out and talk to these patients. And I pass out about 25 to 30 each week I go, which is every other week. So God put me in there. I didn't know it was going to be me, but I'm glad it is. So God has used this in many ways. He's even used it to train a nurse in my reaction. I went, okay, God, I told you you could use my body. And so she learned what to do in a major reaction. He showed me many things that we need to change with the cancer ministry, one being the lids of love. I remember the day that I washed my hair and it fell out in hands full, and I was totally, totally devastated. I mean, I didn't know how to handle that. And so what I realized with our cancer ministry is we didn't have anything for head coverings. So I hope that you're giving to this lids of love because it's greatly needed. In the leadership of this cancer ministry, I am being refined. It's a refining process because he's showing me things that we need to change with the ministry. I think maybe it might have been easier if I just signed up for Meals on Wheels and then I might have just been tested for recipes or cooking skills or, you know, but we're in the ministry. I want to share with you just a little bit about how we came to this church. We had a church home. Actually, I'd been there since diapers. I won't tell you how old I am, but diapers. And we really weren't looking for a church home. But Mark Larkey invited me with a tract. He'll be more careful about who you pass those out to now, won't you? So he says, I invited trouble over here. But when my Sunday school teacher had gone on a mission trip and I didn't really want to do what was going to be done, we taught Sunday school fifth grade for about 23 years. But with the guidelines and things changing about how, you know, our church has had to see those too, Bennett and I had to step out as a couple teaching and step into an adult class. And so during that time that she was going to be gone, I said, oh, I'm just going to go find me a church to do 9 weeks of Sunday school. And so Bennett had been here for the prayer breakfast during his cancer time. And so he was familiar with his church, and then Mark Larkey had shared with me about this church, and I said, well, let's just go there for 9 weeks. So we walked in the door, and there was the Ellises. And so I knew them from before, and I said, you know, I want a really good Bible teaching Sunday school class. He said, I think you'd like to go to Gary Seaman's class, and so they showed us the way down here. And so afterwards, I went, I don't know about that class. And he said, no, don't worry. He'll get the hang of teaching. He'll be okay. He's going to get better. And no, just joking. He really didn't say that at all. And so actually we love Gary Seaman. And why would I even want to make the effort to come on my week off, as weak as I am, and sit in the back of the class if we did not love the teaching of this class? So we love you, Bennett and I both, don't you? Yeah. But that's how we came to this church. But I also believe that we came to this church for the purpose of the cancer ministry. God led us here. We had no intentions. Remember, I was only coming for 9 weeks. We've been here 4 years now. And so I do believe that it is for the purpose of the cancer ministry, which we didn't know that's why we were coming. But this ministry is God-led. It's the most unified and faithful group of people who ever be associated with in this church. It is an amazing ministry. Everybody does their own part, and it just flows. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." And Psalms 139:10 says, "Even there shall thy hand lead thee, and thy right hand shall hold thee." God has my hand, and I'm walking in stride with him through this. I'm just going to tell you, his hand is huge. It feels like, you know, when you take hold of a little child's hand, how tiny it feels in your hand. That's about how my hand feels in his big, huge hand. But I'm holding on tight with him. I don't walk ahead of him, and neither do I lag behind. I stay straight in stride with him. I'm in step with God through this. I walk with him holding on tight, and it reminds me of the hymn, "He Leadeth Me," as I thought about that scripture. Saideth, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words of heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I place my hand in thine, ne'er ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." I did have a PET scan this past week. Now, cancer can grow even though you're doing chemo. I don't know if you know that or not, but it can. But I said to Bennett on the way home of this test, I haven't really given thought to one way or the other of how this test is going to turn out. I really didn't even think about it. I just went home, and normally you're having to wait several days for the results. Well, you know what? I'm really hard to wait several days. In fact, Mark Larkey knows when a contract comes, I give him 2 hours to negotiate it. My slogan is, "Are you or ain't you?" You know what you're going to do with it. So anyway, Pastor Jody had, last time he came to the house, I mean, I don't care how many times you come, you're going to share a scripture, okay? So he had underlined a scripture in Psalms, and the last words were, "Right away." So I found out that afternoon. They called and told me, and then I had them send the report to me, so I had it in black and white. Now, I dissected that report. Let me tell you, I know everything about my body. I know where the cancer is. I know the treatments I'm taking. I know what the medicines are. I know the reactions. I even have cancer in a vein from my artery to my stomach. Now, that's crazy, isn't it? But I did know the results that afternoon. He didn't make me wait. As you remember, in the beginning, I had a less than 5% chance of survival rate, and I was going to do no treatments. Well, with the PET scan this past Wednesday, there is now no evidence of lung cancer and liver cancer. God is good. Just after 4 treatments, right early, he didn't make me wait 8 treatments, 12 treatments. After the first 4 treatments, I have no evidence. It says completely resolved. That's pretty definite, in my opinion. So now I've gotten rid of 2. God did, not me. But so those 2 cancers. And you know, if you can get it out of your organs, I was feeling pretty confident. If I can get it out of my lung, get it out of my liver, I know there's a better survival rate with this. And so God showed me right early of what work he was doing with that. Luke 8:48 says, "And he said to her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace." I have, in the beginning, when Keller Williams did a big prayer service for me, I used the scripture in Matthew about the mustard seed. And I said, this is all the faith I have to have, is the faith of this mustard seed. How tiny that is, how little we have to have. But I've got all of that faith, and I've always had all that faith. So what I have to tell you is the faith of a mustard seed is not only believing God can, but is knowing that God will, and that's the difference. So today, I have a celebration of life. It's a little different than when Pastor Jody and I spoke. So I'm excited now that I have that cancer gone in those 2 organs. Now, my journey does still continue because I do still have a lot of cancer left. And I know those of you have looked at my stomach growing. It's not a baby, but it's huge. And I've got a lot of cancer still in here, okay? And so God still has work to do. And I'm real excited on this journey to see how this is all going. I know it's a hard journey, but I was willing to take it. I still have 8 more treatments, and that takes me through till May. Now, what you all don't know is that I can't cook for 6 months. I can't be in the kitchen because of the chemo output through my body. So I rely on meals being brought in, and so far it's working out pretty good. So if you feel like you can cook really well, just give me a call. I'm welcoming food. So, but my specific prayer is that God take it all away, so that I don't have to have any surgery. I don't have to have any radiation. In the beginning, God, I asked him for a miracle in the very beginning. Our family has seen miracles. First of all, with Bennett, with stage 4 cancer, 12 days to live. He is now 8 years survival. I've also seen another miracle in our family with our son Eric, if you remember the car accident, less than 10% chance he would ever walk. So we renovated our entire downstairs with wheelchair accessible, and he pushed his wheelchair in. So after just 45 days, he took his first step in Augusta, Georgia. That step was better than the first step I ever watched him take at 10 months of age. So now he even walks, even without a limp, no cane, no walker, no nothing. You would ever know anything had ever happened to him. I want to read something to you. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noticed that first came her date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between her years. That dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who love her know what that little line was worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could slow down just enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved them before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read and with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say of how you spent your dash? You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live. Genesis 1:1 said, "In the beginning, God." Each day, we need to begin our day with God. I love each and every one of you. Even the two Gary said were, no, I'm just joking. I do. I love each and every one. I don't know your names, a lot of you, but I do love each and every one of you. And I just want to let you know that to God be the glory for what great things he has done.
Oh, yeah, you do need this, don't you?
Well, wasn't that a blessing? What an encouragement to all of us as believers. Let's do a. I've got a lesson here. I'm just going to hold on to it until next week. It'll be aged. It'll be better by then. How many of you ladies or men that cook would be willing to help with a meal in the future? Be willing to help with a meal in the future? Okay, lots. I'll tell you what. Where's that pizza sign-ups thing? Let's flip it over, and let's send that around, and if you can help with the meal, and then I need a lady who will organize this. Is there a lady that says, I will be glad to take all these names and I'll contact people and kind of, okay, Megan over here, good. So I'll make sure you get all these names and Megan will get with you. And nothing happens if we don't plan. So we're gonna make a plan here and help with that. I know my wife, I think my wife's taking food this week or something. So I won't get to eat again. It's rough, but she takes my food and gives it to somebody else. It's really hard. But, don't believe a word of it. good. Thank you, Joyce, for sharing that with us. I want to let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. There is, yes, come on, bring those up if you would, and we'll have we got both of them? Yeah. Yeah, let's bring them both up, and we'll flip them over, and if you folks want to help with the meal, just put your name and phone number. I tell you, just put your name, and I'll do a printout. I'll give that to you with names and phone numbers and emails and all that stuff, okay? And then you can contact Joyce and see when somebody else might be bringing food and when you do things, okay? I'm thinking probably a couple times a week, maybe three, two, okay? Two times a week. All right, so we'll work on that. Good. Let me just ask you this. How many of you today, now I don't know that anybody here has cancer, is going through those treatments, but you have a need, a great need, or going through a trial in your life right now. You're in the midst of a trial, you have a great need. All right, many, many hands. Now, the thing that has brought Joyce through to this point and Bennett through. And by the way, Bennett, my prayer has been for your wife, but also for you. Because I can't imagine what life would be like for me if I was going through what you're going through. And so we're praying for you too. But the answer that they have found is the same answer that will help you in the midst of your trial. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, I want to start in verse 4. And I want to remind you of what Paul says, and I want to remind you where Paul is writing from. This is one of the blank epistles, fill in the word. Prison epistles, all right? So the Apostle Paul is writing from a dungeon, a filthy, rat-infested dungeon, you know, no air conditioning, no cable TV, you know. And he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord when you don't have any family problems. Well, now that's a good reason to praise the Lord. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but rejoice in the Lord just when you have all your bills paid and you don't owe any money and you've got all kinds of money in the bank. Rejoice in the Lord when you don't have any problems at all. No, what does he say? Rejoice in the Lord. What's the next word? Always. 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 Now let that sink in for a minute. And he says, you know, and just in case you didn't get that, and again I say, because he knows us, and again I say, rejoice. Now if you come naturally, and what you do naturally in your flesh, you're going to gripe and you're going to complain. It's amazing to me that we gripe about the weather. Like the person we're griping to can do something about it, you know. But we do it all the time. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too wet, it's too dry. It's too much snow, it's not enough snow. And Paul says, believer, I want you to know that God is calling you to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. How is that possible? How is it possible? Well, in Joyce's testimony today, you've seen how that's possible because several times she talked about God. And God, folks, when you're going through a trial or a difficulty, the first thing we've got to realize is that we have a God who is sovereign, a God who is in control. God did not... How long ago were you diagnosed? 6 weeks ago? How long were you diagnosed? Oh, it's a lot longer than that. Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving weekend, God didn't say, oh, did you, you called the, all the angels around. Did you hear that Joyce got cancer? God was still in control. And you're seeing what God is doing through this situation. God is in control, folks. He has a good plan for our life, and he's working to bring about his glory. Now, let me ask you a question. Who was glorified today? Joyce? Not really. The doctors? Not really. Who received the glory? The Lord did. And that's exactly what God wants to do in your trial and your difficulty. Now, the way we can give God glory in a trial and difficulty, and I just glanced at Pam over here, and Pam has been fighting cancer for 16 and a half years. How does God get glory through that? Now, if we're not careful, we say, well, God allowed them or gave them cancer. He must not be a loving God. Oh, no, it's the opposite. And God, through Pam's life and David's life and Joyce and Bennett's life and your life, can receive glory if you respond with rejoice in the Lord always. Because you see, folks, when unsaved people look at Pam's life and they say, you're a Christian and you still go to church and you're still serving the Lord, what's wrong with you? I mean, God has been mean to you. And she says, oh no, God has been good to me. And God is glorified. And when God is glorified, people are drawn to him. Now, you're going to hear more about this in the service this morning. Well, actually, it was Wednesday night. That as we imitate Christ, God is glorified. And our purpose in life is fulfilled. Remember what our purpose in life is? What is it? I've already told you 3 or 4 times today. Glorify God. To give a proper reflection of God. Let me ask you a question. In Joyce's testimony this morning, did she give you a proper view of God? Sure. Did it encourage your heart? Sure. Did it draw you to Christ or push you away from Christ? And that's exactly what ought to happen in our trials. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now look on. Let your moderation be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now verse 6. I hope you've memorized these verses. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Don't worry. Does anybody have trouble with that in here? Isn't it amazing how the devil works in our minds? And I still, you know, I've got a daughter in Florida. I've got one here locally. My wife is out driving around. I hear sirens. What's the first thing I think? Where's my wife? I get up my iPhone. Turn on Discover, say, here she, oh, she's at Walmart, we're okay. Well, no, we're not okay. And God is telling us in his word, folks, don't worry. Now, we make all kinds of excuses for our worrying, don't we? Well, I'm just human. Well, yeah, you are, but it's still sin. Well, you know, if you knew what was going on in my life, yeah, but God said don't do it. When we do something that God says don't do, what are we doing? We're sinning. Don't worry. But, okay, here's the flip side. You can worry or you can, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? Lord, now you know about this great financial need, and Lord, I just want to tell you, I thank you for it. Ooh. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. One of the things that Joyce said at the very beginning was, I have peace. We get a flat tire. We get in a fender bender. We don't have any peace. Look at what it says. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful. He said, look, don't worry, but pray with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And he said, God will garrison you about with peace. That word is the word to guard, to place you in a safe place where the troubles and the trials and the arrows of doubt and worry cannot reach you. He said, God will give you peace that no one can understand. I'll just be honest with you. Joyce, I don't understand your peace. Now, I'm a believer. I believe in God. I believe God can work. But you see, folks, I don't need her grace right now. I don't need Bennett's grace right now. They do. And God has given his grace to them, his all-sufficient grace, and that gives them peace. Now, again, I don't know where you are today in your life, but by the raising of hands, many of you are going through troubles and trials and difficulties. And Pastor preached Sunday night, or no, last must have been last Sunday at some point, about the fact that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil that kept them from God's presence in the temple was rent in two, signifying that we can come into the very throne room of heaven. And God says that you can come in boldly to the throne of grace. And my friends, there is a prescription for peace. And it's found right here. There is an antidote for suffering and worry. And it's right here in this verse. Those of you that raised your hands earlier, let me ask you, have you taken it to the Lord? Have you come to the throne room of heaven? And are you asking God to do a miraculous work in your life and in this situation? Then he says, look, and I love verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, what's the first thing? True. What are our worries? The majority of our worries never happen. The majority don't happen. He said, think on things that are true. Don't get all consumed with what might happen, what might be. He said, think about things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just and pure and lovely, or of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, folks, this morning we have seen a great illustration of these verses. And if you will practice God's formula for peace, you can have peace. You can have peace. And the Bible says it will be a garrison about you. It will keep, it will guard your heart and your mind. Do you need that today? If you do, I want to encourage you to go home today after church and meditate on these verses. And folks, just tell the Lord. And by the way, when you pray, I'm out of time, but when you pray, you don't have to say, oh, thou almighty of gods, thou great creator of the universe. You don't have to speak in King James English. Just go to the Lord and say, God, I've got a problem. I'm hurting. I don't know what to do. Please help me. And the broken, humble heart is the one that God will hear. And he can help you right where you are. Okay? Lord, we thank you today for this wonderful testimony. We thank you, Lord, that we're reading your word, great truth, and we've seen them illustrated today in Joyce and Bennett's lives. And our prayer is that you would continue to minister. I know, Lord, that now that we have the shining testimony, that probably the devil's going to attack them even more and try to destroy that testimony, and just continue to keep them strong in faith Continue to use them. Continue to touch Joyce physically and help Bennett mentally and physically and emotionally. And Lord, for the many folks who raised their hands this morning saying they're going through trial, there's a difficulty in life, help us to take the medicine from the Word of God and apply it and use it, that we might have believers who give a right view of God in every trial, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.